بسم الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا من فضلك علما وتعليما إنك على كل شيء قدير وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. So as we continue our discussion in this Ramadan on the virtues of the Qur'an, we speak about an assortment of virtues and blessings connected to the Book of Allah Ta'ala. And last night we were speaking about the virtues of establishing a regular routine of recitation, a wird of recitation of the Qur'an. And besides the virtues of reciting it regularly and the rewards for reciting it, there are also rewards and virtues connected to listening to the Qur'an. And that's what we're going to speak about tonight, inshallah ta'ala. Just as it is virtuous to recite the Qur'an and to study the Qur'an and seek a deeper understanding of the Qur'an, it is also highly virtuous to listen to the Qur'an. And so this means that we should discuss some of the rulings and etiquettes connected with listening to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we start with the words of the great Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, who mentions in his work At-Tibyan fi Adabi Hamd to others recite the Qur'an. He says, this is the habit of the elite worshippers and righteous servants of Allah and an established practice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what Imam An-Nawawi is telling us in this opening passage is that listening to others recite the Qur'an was also a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not just reciting but also listening to others. And this is based on a hadith recorded by Imam al-Bukhari and others from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, who relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, recite the Quran to me. And Ibn Mas'ud said, ya Rasulullah, shall I recite it to you when it is upon you that it was sent down? And to this the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I like to hear it from someone other than myself. So even though he received the Quran in his blessed heart sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he is the direct recipient of the kalam of Allah Ta'ala, he still liked to listen to others recite it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would seek from individual companions to recite portions of the Quran, and there are several narrations about this. One narration mentions that he would seek out some of the companions to recite the Qur'an to him at night. Imam Bukhari and Muslim both narrate from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I recognize the voice of the Ash'aris when night falls, meaning from the Ash'ari tribe. I recognize the voice of the Ash'aris when the night falls, and I know their houses through hearing their voices reciting the Qur'an at night, even though I have not seen their houses when they are in them during the day. So this is communicating something a little bit different in that he would sometimes ask companions to recite the Qur'an to him, and at other times he would be in the area near the homes of the Ash'ari people, and he would enjoy listening to the Qur'an, to the sound, as it's coming out of their homes. That tells you also that the companions had a regular habit of reciting the Qur'an audibly at nighttime inside of their homes, such that others could hear them if they're walking through the alleyways and streets. So there's many narrations where he would listen to different companions recite the Qur'an. We won't go through all of them, but the main one is that of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, where he asks him to recite and says that he likes to hear it from others. Now, in another narration, we have a hadith from Ibn Jurayj, who relates from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who says, whoever hears, not recites, whoever hears a verse from the Book of Allah being recited, it will be a light for him on the Day of Judgment. So a person who memorizes an ayah, it will be a light for them. A person who studies the meaning of an ayah, it will be a light for them. Likewise, the one who listens to an ayah of the Qur'an, it will be a light for that person on the day of judgment. This is recorded by Abdul Razak in his Musannaf. Al-Imam al-Daylami also records in his Musnad al-Firdaus from Ibn Abbas, who said that the summoner and the summoned share in reward. The reciter and the listener share in reward, and the learner and the learner share in reward. So there's a virtue to just listen to the Quran. Likewise, we have a hadith recorded by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Abu Hurairah said, whoever listens to a verse from the Book of Allah will have multiplied rewards for them. And whoever recites it, it will be a light for him on the Day of Judgment. This is a sample of a number of hadith which speak about the virtue of not just reciting, but also listening to the Quran. Having established that reward and virtue, we have to talk about the etiquettes. There are certain etiquettes and behaviors that we have to uphold if we are going to listen to the Quran properly. And there are certain things that people may do that violate the etiquettes of listening to the Quran. The foundation for all of this is in the words of Allah Ta'ala, where He says, وَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. When the Quran is recited, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. This doesn't mean observe or hear it in a passive way, because there's a difference between sama' and istima'. Sama' is to passively hear something. You know, you go to the grocery store, you hear the music that's piped in, you're not actively listening to it. You just hear it. You register that it's a sound. Istima' is actively listening to it, not a passive activity. So he says, when the Quran is recited, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ, listen attentively. وَأَنصِتُوا, أَنصِتُوا means, you know, in Arabic you have three different ways of telling people to be quiet, right? Who knows the most famous way to tell someone to be quiet? Uskut, right? Uskut literally means shut up. But uskut also means just stop talking. It says nothing about you listening. It just means you desist from talking. When you say ansit, it means stop talking and listen. And then you have sah, which is ismu fi'l, which is basically, it's very similar. It's be quiet and listen. So Allah says, when the Quran is recited, you should listen attentively to it and be silent while attentively listening. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, so that perhaps you receive rahmah. If a person is not listening, if a person hears it and is talking over it, they are not acting according to the guidance in this verse of the Quran. Now, the etiquette of listening is discussed by the fuqaha, the jurist. And in the four legal schools in Sunni Islam, the strictest legal school with respect to listening to the Quran is the school of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi alayhi. It is by far the strictest school when it comes to listening to the Quran being recited and not doing other things. And other schools are a little bit more lenient, as we'll see. The Shafi'i school tends to be a bit more lenient. So in the Hanafi school, we have, of course, the masterwork of the late Hanafi school, the work of Imam Ibn Abidin al-Hanafi, who mentions in Radd al-Muhtar. He says about this ayah that we just mentioned, even though this verse was revealed in the context of salat, because the ayah is in the context of what you do when you're in prayer, that you should listen attentively to the Quran. He says, even though it's recited in the, it's revealed in the context of salat, he says, al-ibratu bi'umum al-lafzi la bi-khusus al-sabab. What matters is the generality of the expression, not the specific cause or circumstance for which it was revealed. Which means that this ayah is not exclusive to what you should do in salat. It even applies to how you behave outside of salat. He says, this verse applies when there is no extenuating circumstance or extenuating excuse. This is why it states in Al-Qunya, another Hanafi work, when a young child is reciting the Quran inside of the house while his family is busy with chores, they are excused for not listening if they began their chores before the child began reciting the Quran. So they're in the house cleaning, cooking, preparing. They're doing their thing. And then the child comes and sits down, opens the mushaf, and begins to recite. If they were already doing chores in the Hanafi school, if they were already doing chores, then they don't have to stop and listen, because they were doing those things before he began. However, he says, if they began their household chores after he started reciting, then they are not excused for not listening. So it's a very strict position. And he goes on to mention some other Hanafi authorities from the Khulasa. It says a man is copying down matters of fiqh, of law. He's taking notes from a fiqh text, while a man is next to him reciting the Qur'an, and it's not possible for the man writing the fiqh to listen to the recitation of the Qur'an. If this is the case, then the reciter is sinful, because he's put that person in a position where he's not able to listen properly. He could go somewhere else and do it. He says, in this case, the reciter is sinful. On this basis, were he to recite the Qur'an on a roof while people were sleeping, the reciter would be sinful, because he would be the cause of them not listening to the Qur'an, or he would be the cause of waking them up. So the adab of listening is not just, the onus of that is not just on the one hearing it. The responsibility also applies to the qari, that he doesn't recite in places, times, or situations where people are already engaged in other activities, where they're forced to choose between continuing what they were doing or stopping and listening. So you don't recite the Qur'an in that context in a way that's going to inconvenience people and create some haraj, where they're forced to choose between continuing or stopping. Now in Sharh al-Munya, another Hanafi text, it says the default, al-asl, the default with listening to the Qur'an is that it is a communal obligation, fardu kifaya. It's a communal obligation because it is to uphold the right of the Qur'an by turning to it attentively without breaching its sanctity. He says it is necessary for the reciter to respect it, but not by not reciting it in the marketplace or and where people are preoccupied. If someone recites in such a places, they will be the one breaching its sanctity, and the sin will be upon the reciter, not upon the people who are busy. I think, you know, if you're from back home, you see where this is applicable. You go into the souq, you go into the bazaar, what do you hear? Many shopkeepers will play the Qur'an, right? If you're from there, you're familiar with this. And if you visited, you'll know that you go into the souq, there are many shops where the shopkeeper is playing the Qur'an on a speaker, and you're walking down the alley or down the road and you can hear it. What are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to stop shopping? You came there to shop. Are you supposed to stop talking with your friend? Are you supposed to stop everything and just listen as the recording is being played? He is inconveniencing others and putting them in a position where they have to either listen or stop talking or continue talking and doing what they have to do. The burden is on the person playing the Qur'an or the person reciting the Qur'an in that particular context. So that is the general Hanafi position, the strictest. And the Shafi'i view is that listening to the recitation in general, when someone's reciting, is a sunnah. Now, what does this mean for us? People often play the Qur'an on their phones, or they play it while they're driving in their vehicle, or they're playing it at home. You have to be mindful of when you do that and pick the time where you're not going to be facing interruptions, disruptions, the kids running around making noise, where you're putting them in this position. And if that's happening, then what do? You stop the recitation. You hit pause or you hit stop. Now, one of the fawaid that I learned from a teacher is that if you're playing the Qur'an on a phone or a device and you want to stop it for one reason or another, the adab is that you stop it after the reciter has finished reciting a verse. You don't just hit stop right in the middle of an ayah. You let that ayah be recited to its end, and then you hit pause or you hit stop. Now, just as there's a virtue in listening to recitation and there's etiquette, regarding the choice of who you listen to. There's all sorts of reciters in the world that we have access to because of the internet and recordings. That wasn't always the case. If you are old, like some of us, you will remember the 80s and the 90s when there was no internet. And if you wanted to have the entire Quran in a recorded format, you'd have to buy these large plastic containers that had 20 or 30 tapes, cassette tapes. Kids are asking, what's a cassette tape? But yeah, it's like, what's an 8-track? And you would play those. Those were the only way you could have access to the entire Quran recited. But now with the internet, there's so many to choose from, far more than there were back in the 90s. So it is good to have a practice of listening to good reciters of the Quran. And this can be done while at home or while driving. Ideally, when you're not dealing with interruptions, disruptions, or distractions. I wouldn't advise it while you're working. Because if you're working on something at your desk, you're typing away, or you're taking phone calls, it's not a good situation because you have to either stop it or do your work while it's playing in the background. But you should pick a good reciter to listen to. So the question is, which reciter should one listen to? There's so many to choose from. Is there an ideal one to pick? And, you know, people are attracted to nice voices. That is our human nature. We like nice sounding voices. But that should not be your number one criteria for who you choose to listen to as a reciter. I hate to break it to you, but that's the truth. Your choice of reciter should not be focused just on the niceness of the voice. The nice voice is an extra touch. But the primary concern is based on a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned by Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu. He mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Inna min ahsan al-nasi sawtan bil Qur'an alladhi idha sami'tahu yaqra'u ra'ayta annahu yakhsha Allah. He says, among those with the best voices reciting the Quran is the one who, when you hear him, you sense that he fears Allah. That is the ultimate criteria. If you sense that, right, and it's all dhan, right? Ghalabat al-dhan. We make the best assumption of people, but if that's the feeling you get, you feel moved not just by the beauty of the voice, but by the state of the qari, that is the one you should ideally listen to the most, because that is the purpose of the Quran, to cultivate that quality of khashya, of reverential awe and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, one of the great scholars of Andalusia, Sheikh Muhyiddin ibn al-Arabi, he says a very beautiful statement in his wasiyya. He mentions this, and I quote, if a person finds his heart attentive, his heart is present, he finds his heart attentive while reciting the while listening to the recitation of the Quran, if the seeker finds his heart attentive while listening to the recitation of the Quran due to the melodious voice of the reciter only, but does not find his heart attentive when hearing it from someone else, he says this person's listening is ma'lul, it's tainted. So here's the scenario. You hear this reciter, oh, it's so beautiful, mashallah, and you're attentive. Some other person recites it and their voice is not as nice as that person. You're not really paying attention, you're not moved by it. According to him, your listening is tainted, it's ma'lul. Why? He says the softness, the riqqah that a person finds in his heart is from his human nature. It's not a riqqah that arises from listening to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we like nice voices. So ideally you have a nice voice with someone of khashya, of adab, and you're moved by their recitation. But the objective is that khashya. So if you have to choose between a person who recites with a nice voice, but you don't get that khashya feeling, and someone who recites without the nicest voice in the world, but you sense khashya, the latter is preferable to listen to, because the objective is to cultivate that quality in listening to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now people ask, is there a preferred reciter who fits this criteria? لَنْ نُزَكِي عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. We can't exonerate anyone above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's all sorts. But if you were to ask me, I would tell you my favorite is Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Manshawi, rahmatullahi alayhi. One of the living Qurra, who is really dedicated to the Quran, he once had a dream in which he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, this is not a hadith, it's not a hujjah, it's a dream. And in the dream, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, whoever wants to listen to the Quran as I recite it, then listen to Muhammad Siddiq al-Manshawi. So you can listen to him. But there's several others who are just as beautiful. Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Manshawi, Imam al-Husari, and several others that are alive as well. I won't mention all their names, but perhaps you know of them already. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.